welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. This is episode 27, and as usual, I have here with me... Oh, wait, it's not Michael Kinsel.
I'm just replacing him.
Yes, this time we have here Arthur Sossin, that fortunately was able to accept an invitation to fill in for Michael Kinsel, that usually is my co-host, but this time he is very busy with his work and could not make it. Well, Michael, if you are seeing this, we miss you, but we hope to get you back on the next episode. But now back to our guest, this time Arthur. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you. I will try to... It's hard to replace something irreplaceable, but well, I try to do my best.
Yes, I think everybody will have another time to... imitate Michael doing his foreign language.
Oh, you need a special skill for that.
Yes, you need to Google Translate. Well, now back to our podcast. This time we have yet another interesting show. We have several interesting topics to comment about and some news at the end. We're going to comment about the latest happenings, specifically in the JS Classes site and the innovation award that just started. But, well, we'll get back to that ahead when we get closer to the end. So we're going to start about talking about a tool that I think it can be interesting. Let me try to screen share here. It is a tool for evaluating the complexity of JavaScript projects. Mm-hmm. And it basically lets you paste the code of some JavaScript file that you have, and then you can analyze it, and it gives some results. Well, this I'm not sure what these numbers mean, but I think if you give
I can
it some
try
time,
to. Yeah, I can try to explain some of them, maybe. Well,
I know what they mean, but what they could be useful for, I think it shows the number of lines of code and those that actually contain code. I think they exclude the white spaces and the comments. And then there are some numbers here that I'm not sure what you can take from them, like maintainability index, aggregates, cyclomatic complexity. Well,
maintainability index is actually something that shows how maintainable your code is, and the highest mark you can get is 171, I guess. So you did pretty well, actually. But I have tried I have tried many of my classes also, and they also got about 100 in maintainability index. So I guess it must be pretty normal for OOP approach. Yes, and aggregate cyclomatic complexity. Well, usually it's said if it's higher than 10 that you should split your code in more different modules. So it's too complex.
Oh, I see. So if you Is this something that you study in computer science these days?
Yes. It's also something that's different metrics and that were discovered and used in measuring the performance and efficiency of the code.
Yeah, well, that is interesting. I was not aware about the meaning of the actual values. I could guess the meaning of the metrics, but looking at the numbers themselves, it did not mean much to me. And then for specific functions, they also have here Alstead difficulty, volume, effort. Do you know any what this means?
Yes, I've heard of Alstead metrics, but can't comment on it much.
Me neither. I stopped going to school many years ago. And this is interesting. I think whoever is concerned about the problems of having complex code in your applications could take a look. Now I've just learned from you that I need to split my code in probably more modules. They probably evaluate the length and the number of the functions that you have there, or scopes, or cycles, or whatever.
Oh, cycles, yes. They are like representing that as a flow graph, how your program may be run, and then they count cycles in it, something like that.
Well, I'm not really convinced that I need to split that specific code in many parts, but well, go and figure, maybe for a future project.
Usually it's really language dependent, so
yeah.
In JavaScript maybe you need some other values.
Yes, but what I meant is that, for instance, these components, well, in the case of this component, it's something that I usually share with other people. And since it is to run on the browser side, I try to avoid putting it in too many files because it starts making it more complex for less experienced. Oh, yes, also the number of requests, but for less experienced users, they look at this and start missing that they need to include more files. And if they are missing a file, they may not be paying attention to the actual error in the browser that says that the file is missing. But that's just a criteria that I have for this. Different people may have other criteria. Well, but now moving on to the next topic, we are going to comment here about an article that, it's not exactly recent. It's almost 1 month ago, but since we do this hangout one month at a time, we try to review the whole month that passed. So let me screen share here. Okay, basically it's the announcement of PhoneGap 2.3.0 that was released in early January. And basically one of the most important features is the full support to Windows Phone 8. And there are some other things. I did not try PhoneGap in practice, but I really want to try it because it's one solution to develop mobile applications that can run on multiple devices, and you only have one JavaScript code base. Arthur, do you have any experience with PhoneGap that you would like to comment specifically about this release as well?
Well, basically, I'm now trying to concentrate more on the mobile games, trying to produce my own. I've been using some WoW frameworks cross-platform.
Oh, and
really? And I have tried PhoneGap also before, but what interesting is that the framework I'm using, Gidros Mobile, is not currently supporting Windows Phone 8. So I checked the Windows Phone 8 SDK and saw that they are supporting JavaScript. They provided their own library with a JavaScript API for Phone SDK. So I think that the major point of this, that PhoneGap is now supporting Windows Phone 8, is that they all are under the same API, like PhoneGap used, and not something that Microsoft has produced. But, well, as I said, that's not something new, because you can write your own Windows Phone 8 applications with a Windows JS library.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was just wondering if it would not be easier to maintain if you have only one code base for all different platforms. And what would be the downsides of that? I always heard that you lose something because you do not take advantage of specific platform things. When you use PhoneGap, but I don't know that from first-hand experience. I did not try it. What is your experience? Have you tried it lately, or maybe not?
No. I have tried it long time ago. But as I said, I'm also concentrating on games, and especially if that are based on physics, so that in browser that web apps that are produced are not a good solution for physics based games. They are just too slow for that, so you need something more native, and that's when I only tried PhoneGap and haven't used it at all. But maybe if you're producing apps, not games but apps, like with a specific user interface, then maybe it's much more usable.
Yeah, well, what I meant is not exactly to do browser-based, but using PhoneGap, it's not exactly the same as browser-based, right?
Probably not exactly, but
the performance is still affected.
Well, at least when I was trying it, I remember I was drawing the same all the same things that use JavaScript in Canvas. So maybe this part was the same if you are using user interface for more, maybe that is more native, yes. But at least for what you need for games, that was basically the same that you would run in a browser.
Right. And did you also try Titanium?
Oh yeah, I was working with Titanium. That was a framework mostly for apps. But and I don't know if you have heard, but they are creating their own engine from a former Corona engineer who designed the Corona framework, and now it will be called, I guess, Vanica Platino or something like that. So there will be a specific game engine for Titanium.
So you expect it to be actually faster and more feasible for games and things that demand more speed, right?
Well, then Titanium now is that, yes, that's certainly.
Yeah, well, maybe we should call somebody that is more inside those things, because from what I've heard, PhoneGap also advanced a lot in the latest times, but cannot speak from experience. Now you're going to move on to another topic on which you're going to comment about an article by Adi Osmani, on which he is telling about a technique that he is using to cache JavaScript on using local storage to store the actual scripts on the browser side without the overhead to fetch the scripts again on the next access they are needed. This is an interesting approach. I have not thought much about it. Artus, did you look into this article? What did you think about this technique?
Yeah, well, what the author discussed is that somewhere, I guess, in 2011, main search engines like Google and Bing already experimented with this technique, and it seems that they get a good result, and this project is just to experiment how good it is to cache the whole script and load them from local storage. They are also describing why they choose the local storage specifically and not, for example, File API or IndexedDB, because for now those implementations are much slower than this, and so they are still experimenting and trying to understand, will it be a feasible solution, especially for mobile phones, for example?
Yeah, this seems to be very interesting now that JavaScript libraries are getting larger and larger. We've talked about in the past episodes about jQuery trying to ditch the older browser support so they can have a different, actually smaller implementation of a jQuery API. That has less code. Well, if code size is a problem, actually this solution to store the browser, the local storage, could be an idea, especially for libraries that tend to take more space in terms of being spread over multiple files, because each file would be a request to the server, and if they get it from local storage, that overhead will be practically suppressed. And it seems to be a good, interesting idea to be explored. Now, moving on to the next topic, I'm just scrolling it here. I'm trying to screen share another article, this time by Michael Matthews, on which he comments about the use of the use strict pragma, which was introduced in ECMAScript 5, which is practically the base of all current browser implementations of JavaScript. And this pragma, which you can use it in different ways, you can actually activate the strict mode. Artus, did you look into this article? What were the main conclusions that you took from it?
Yeah, well, basically, using strict mode may have using any of the both modes may have its own advantages and disadvantages. If you are using strict mode, well, you might have better testing, you can catch some errors that you got in your code that may later lead to some bugs. But they also throw exceptions usually on some errors that could not cause any bugs, and you don't want to, for example, to throw exceptions at the end user when your code is already in deployment. Yeah. And they also talk about that, for example, running a strict mode may make your code run faster.
Faster,
because I also thought that it would be slower because you need to check some things more, but
oh right, running in non-strict mode might be slower. I was reading the other way around.
Yeah, and they're explaining it that strict mode fixes mistakes that can make JavaScript engine difficult to optimize the code. So if you're using the strict mode, it could optimize the code better, much better.
Right.
Also there is one section that describes that basically your code may run differently on strict and non-strict mode. So if you, for example, want to enable strict mode in development, and then when you deploy code, you want to disable the strict mode, your code may run differently. Basically, it's mostly used on a function context that you have might have different context. And so you need to be very careful with that.
Yes, personally, I have been using a lot more recently the tools like JS Hint and JS Lint, and one of the complaints they use is that you do not specify the use of the strict mode, and I tend to disable it because I was concerned that the code might not run the same way on the server side, and it seems that this article is suggesting that using the strict mode is actually a good idea, and it's good that if you are going to use it in development environment, you also use in production, because there may be differences, right?
Yes.
So basically, it is advising to use a strict mode. I think it is interesting. I'm going to consider using it more in my projects, and I just need to study a bit more about on these differences, what they can affect my code in practice, and I recommend other people to do the same. Now, moving on to next topic, I would like to comment actually about an article that I wrote some time ago, not many days ago, actually it was this week, and this week that we are recording, because when this article, this podcast will be live, published on the JS Classes site, it will take still a few days for the people to transcribe it, and that's when it will be published. But when I say this week, it was in the last week of January, and this article specifically, I wrote because I developed a lot, a package that I have for implementing animations, that I've been using them in the pages that were headed for the system levels and missions that the users in the PHP classes and JS classes site are going through, and some information that sometimes when you present a lot of information, a lot of paths for the user to go next, it may be hard for the user to figure what is the most important thing that he needs to pay attention to, he read about something that he accomplished, or maybe things like suggestions or hints on where he needs to go next. And specifically on the system levels and missions that were implemented, this was very important. Let me see if I can show you what I would see. Wait, I need to log in because I was not logged here, but don't grab my password. Oh, you've seen it all. You just know that as many characters. I think you can see it now. You can see several animations that A lot of these new animations that I implemented were displayed here. You've seen some fade effects, which are very basic. Many sites use them. You saw a progress bar being animated, showing how the level that it is up to now, and the animation gets the attention of the user to the actual message that is being passed. And the message here is that I've done 66% of the current level, and I have one mission to go. There is some message that they do not give much emphasis, because if you give emphasis to everything on screen, it will still be confusing for the user. And the actual message that I wanted to give more emphasis is this one about the next mission, that he has drawn a sort of incomplete circle, actually an ellipse, that shows the next mission is to do something, in this case publish an innovative class. And then there is this button or link that I can click, and it shows more details about the mission. As you may have noticed, the actual screen, the page scrolled a bit, because it is shown a new page element that was not completely visible. And there is also an animation effect for that, to make visible as much as possible a page element that you give its ID and it figures how much it needs to scroll the screen. And again, it showed another circle around a link on which you can get more details about this mission. I can click on the link there, and again, it uses some animations. There is some information about the briefing, and what is important here is to tell the user, oh, read this briefing to the end. And if the user is paying attention to these messages, and I hope so, because that was the idea behind giving emphasis to these messages, he will go there and eventually he reads this and then continues to the page. I can get back to the actual page again, and that was before. And this time I'm going to click on this link, which is something different that shows how much I have done so far. It expands a section, and automatically it scrolls the page to make the section as much visible as possible, and so on. The idea is not to show the actual system of levels and missions, just to show how it was used as it is described in this article. The article is not a small one. It gets a lot of shows, tells many things about making well thought user interfaces, which admittedly is something that the JS classes and PHP classes site need still to improve on, specifically on package pages. But in this case, it was a new section of the site that was implemented using these animations. It was there was some time dedicated to this work. Arthur, did you read this article? What did you think about it? Did you take any important lessons useful for you, or that could be useful for others as well?
Actually, yes, I read the article. I even seen that in action before you showed. Actually, that is something that I and designers I was working with were really, really serious about it. For example, designers were not only try to emphasize some text, but also try to implement this inside the website design. Therefore, I have published some classes like a spotlight or a water drop, the exact way effects that gives a focus on different items or text. So that is something that I was taking really seriously even before, yes.
Yes, that's true. I remember you sent many actually very cool objects, classes, whatever is more accurate to call them, that performed some very impressive animation effects. And this helps to get the attention of the users to the things that really matter, and that was the purpose The actual effects, well, you may have some effects more fancy than others, but what matters is getting the attention of the users, because if the users pay attention to the important messages, they will engage more and the user interfaces will be more efficient. And that's the hope that we can get from here. And well, I personally, I think I should continue to implement more animations like this, because if you show the same animations over and over and again to the user, he gets used to them and does not and stops paying attention, so the intention is lost. And well, at least vary a bit, alternate some animations. But well, the idea was just that to pass the to share some knowledge, some experience that I gathered with this development. And personally, I was very happy with the results. We have seen a lot. I don't know if I can show it here. A lot of engagement, especially in PHP classes site that is more popular, as more authors to target. Let me see if I can show some information that currently is not very obvious the way it is displayed, but just to show how many users are engaging on these missions. I would like to, well, I think I need to screen share it first so people can see it in the page. Where is it? Screen share. Here we go. Okay, this is the status page on the PHP classes site. And if I go here in class author, I can see the missions that I have accomplished. And I also can see how many other users have completed the same mission. So, for instance, this first mission, which is very trivial, it's just to start engaging the users. It has 294 users that engaged on this mission from a universe of 3,000. It's like 10%, almost getting there. And this first level is very easy. It's just many users just accomplish it just to see what happens. So they will not actually engage. So we need to see how many users have engaged on the next level. And the next level here, it shows that 30 users have completed this level. It's much less, but still a lot, because here you are required to do more things. And for instance, the mission to publish one package was completed by 69 users. There are many more users that have completed this mission in practice, but they did not engage in this system level mission, system of levels and missions yet. I hope with time they will get engage more on this. And the advantage is mostly for the authors that participate in this initiative, because they will learn a lot accomplishing these missions. They will learn a lot about things that they could do to get more exposure to their packages.
That's why I'm already level 5 author.
You are I'm very proud about it. Well, now that in JS classes there is the Innovation Award, I think you probably stopped there before because you could not move on to the next level. So I will. And you are already behind, because this month in January we started with the Innovation Awards, and we already have the first nominees. And that is precisely the next topic that I'm going to talk about. Let me get the screen share here. I actually announced it. Yeah, we practically talked most about it before. There is this announcement article telling a bit about the award, why it is important, and also the role, the aspects that the award itself presents in the sense of motivating people to send more and more packages and more innovative solutions, instead of sending solutions to solve the same problems over and over again, for which there is not much more need to provide more classes, because there are several other classes that probably do the same things. And This article explains it a bit, how it works for those that were not familiar, because this is something that goes on in the PHP classes side since 2004. And it also mentions that there are some prizes provided by sponsors. Specifically, there for now we just have three sponsors, but I'm still working to finish some contacts with other sponsors to invite them in. For now, we have a pact, publishing, that is giving away one book of choice. There is also Web Dev Publishing, which is actually the company of Michael Kimsel, that will give away a subscription of the JS Mag. And there is also O'Reilly, that has been also a great supporter since the beginning, and providing it will provide a book of choice for you to download and read. And they also have been kind enough over the years to provide books for reviewing. The review section is not very active these days because it's not exactly the main focus of the site, but it is always great that O'Reilly supported us. And the award was preceded by a challenge actually proposed by Arthur Sozins, our guest, that it was actually a great idea that he proposed last year, to have a sort of a challenge to reach a certain number of packages before we start launching the Innovation Award. And the challenge was would give a prize to the first five winners. That would get a nice elephant, which, well, the elephant is the mascot of PHP. Unfortunately, we do not have yet a mascot for JavaScript. Maybe we have one in the future, and probably the site will also give that away. Well, we have to wait and see if maybe somebody comes up with a nice mascot for JavaScript. But just now, just to mention again, the winners of this challenge were Dixon X, Santi Esteban, Arthur Sozin is a year, Marplo is a nickname of another great contributor, Mark Rolchish, and Martin Baker. The prizes will be sent starting next week. I was getting away. Actually, I was waiting a bit because I think Martin did not get the message to send his address so I can send him his prize. Martin, if you are listening, please contact us as soon as possible so I can send you the prize. And well, I just wanted to for now ask you, Arthur, how did you see this award and the challenge and the award coming? What were your impressions of how this worked?
Well, I guess that the first wave was the most awesome, when the idea was just proposed, you implemented it, and there was a huge, that the first wave, that many of authors were submitting something. Then it scaled down a little bit, but still it reached the goal, I think, faster than I anticipated. So
yeah.
And that was a cool date, because it was I think in December, so the Innovation Award could start with a new year. So that was just awesome.
Actually, I think it reached the goal in December 22 or 21, so it was not the end of the world. It was quite the opposite. And it seems this is still motivating, there will be other things that will give additional motivation to the authors to continue to contribute, and I'll talk a bit more about that ahead. Now moving on to one of the regular sections, on which we comment about the latest classes published on the JS classes site. And I'm going to share the screen here. And there were, like, I think 11 this month. It was a good volume of contributions. Mm-hmm. Some authors sent multiple classes, and that is great from them, because that probably they are motivated by the system levels of missions that has some requirements to submit a number of packages. And well, I hope they continue to do so regardless of the motivations. And well, since this is the first month on which we already have some nominees, I, at least in the PHP Classes site, I try to avoid mentioning the nominees before they the actual results come out, or else some people may vote on some packages influenced by our opinions, and that probably will not be fair to the others. So this month we can start talking about those that were not nominated, probably because there are already classes already in the site to do the similar things. So they would not be considered innovative. That does not mean they are not useful. Arturs, which ones would you like to comment this month?
Okay, so I would comment on the first one, that was Wonderground Weather API.
Yeah, can you maybe increase the font of your...
Yeah, sure. Is it okay?
Well, if you can increase it up to the limit of the width of the page, that will be better.
Because, yeah. Oh,
it's cannot do miracles because the size of the recording of the video that is recording is still small. But okay, you go ahead.
So yeah, it is a Wonderground Weather API, which uses a Weather API service, and basically what this package does, it's that it sends a JSONP request. Well, JSONP is something that when you create a JavaScript that you place dynamically into the header of the file, so it goes to that website, sends a HTTP request, and receives a callback function which you named with the data that you can then work on, process and display. And this package does exactly that. And we can see even a screenshot in works. So you can provide some locations, and probably, well, you need to learn about the API itself more to know what you can do. But yeah, I guess that you can only query not only countries but also the cities. Yeah.
Yes, that is supposed to retrieve weather information from the Wonderground API, and the good thing is that it sends requests directly to the server of the API, not to the server of your site. So this makes the browser side application more independent of the server side.
And that was provided by Tom Schaffer, I hope I pronounce it right, from Germany. So
Yes, Thomas has been sending quite a good bunch of interesting classes. I hope he continues to do so, not just to JS classes but also to PHP classes. Some of them are admittedly very impressive, and I hope he continues to send good classes of this level. And what would be the other one that you wanted to comment?
So the next one will be STPL template engine, which was submitted by Jonathan Gotti from France.
I think you can also increase that other window. That is, you switch it to a different type, and okay, that's fine.
So yeah, and basically what it does, it replaces some tags based on the enclosed names. I can even try to show. So here you can see test that was provided with, and if we can even look at the code, how does it really look like? Oh, you can probably can't decrease the source code, but if someone can see that it here is how you provide the tags that can be replaced, and you can use it.
It's very small, you probably cannot read it, but well, at least you can reference it for others to see later more in detail, because everything is in the site and they can download and take a look closer. And that is interesting. On my part, I'll also like to comment a couple of classes. Let me find here which ones. Screen sharing. Okay. The first one I like to comment is Continuous Vertical Scroll by Stephen Chapman. Well, this is the vertical variant of those marquees elements that they usually scroll the elements on the horizontal. But in this case, it scrolls on the vertical, and may have some use cases. It provides the usual features of you can stop scrolling by drag the mouse over the area that is being scrolled. And it was an interesting solution, an interesting variant, although it's very similar to others that we already had in the site. And this one, as I mentioned, was by Stephen Chapman from Australia. And he started to contribute quite a good bunch of classes. I hope he continues to do so, because authors that tend to send a lot of classes usually are classes that are above the average level. So I hope he continues to send more classes, hopefully more classes that are innovative, so we can mention them on future shows on which we'll be mentioning the innovative packages. And the other class that I wanted to mention, again from Stefan Shepman, as I was saying, sent several cool classes, is one that you can create forms dynamically by adding fields. Some of them get labels, and this can be useful to build forms dynamically. If for some reason you could not generate them on the server side, or your application is dynamic and the forms are displayed after some user interface sequence of events. So let me just screen share something here. I'm not sure if this is large enough, probably not, but you get the idea. The idea is to generate forms dynamically, so kudos for Stefan for his contributions. And as I said, we are not there are already some packages that were nominated to the Innovation Award, I'm not going to comment on them precisely to know not influence the results. And so I think we can finish this section. Usually there will be one final section that is regularly presented by Michael Kimsa, on which he comments about the upcoming articles on the JS Mag magazine. He is not here to do so. Unfortunately, he's very busy. But he just told me to remind everybody that JS Classes is, JS Mag is a magazine in PDF format that you can pay for a subscription or buy individual issues. And he is always looking for new authors that would like to contribute to the magazine. That would be a paid contribution. It would not be open source. Although you retain the rights to publish your articles in other places,
one way you have special amount of time.
Yeah, and Artus, you have already published some articles in the magazine.
Quite a few of them.
Yeah, how it was that experience? Did you find it interesting, rewarding somehow, other than the money that was paid?
Yes, I really liked to work though with the editor. Actually, I'm quite bad at grammar, especially English grammar, so I was pointed out many of errors, of grammar mistakes, but it was all good, and so even if you don't know English much, or you think that you can't write normally, that you still can try to apply, and they will work with you, and the result would be just awesome, and you would feel that you have accomplished something good, that you have published, and
you also improve your English skills, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I'm not neither a native English speaker, but judging from the submissions that are sent to the JS Classes, the PHP Classes site, practically rewrite all the descriptions of the packages, because sometimes there I see there is certain difficulty of the authors to write English correctly, and I'm not being a native English speaker as well. I admit that once in a while I may make mistakes, but I can see that at least I can improve the descriptions that they provide, and not also in the aspects of grammar, but also the utility of the description itself. Sometimes the authors do not focus on the aspects that really matter for the user that comes to the site and starts making big claims. Oh, this class is very fast, and this and that, and that's not what matters to the users. I mean, not they are not concerned for the classes to be fast or not. I mean, they first want to know what they do, and if you only mention that the classes are fast instead of saying what they do, it's not going to be very useful. And that is my experience.
Actually, on lots of packages that were nominated for Innovation Awards, you write a small review for them, and these reviews are actually quite descriptive, and they may be something that an end user should read before using the class. That they are pretty cool.
Yeah, yes, that's true. The part that additional description is more to explain why it was nominated, and also give some insight about the problem itself, because sometimes certain techniques are too advanced. They are not obvious to the user that comes to the site about the value of the solution, and I try to describe it and give some insight because we are all developers. We are not reporters. A reporter try exactly. to describe things that are technical. He probably missed most of the points because they do not have enough technical knowledge. But since we are developers, we can give more insight about the algorithms or techniques or maybe solutions that may not be very obvious, as I said. Well, with this, we're practically in this podcast. I just like to mention very briefly that there are some interesting developments coming up to the JS classes and also PHP classes that share the same code base. And what you are going to see next is more things that will make hopefully make the site more motivating to contribute not only to authors that submit classes, but also other people that can do other things that in the end help making the site better somehow. I can give you just a brief idea. There, I'll be introducing a system of points and privileges. It is probably very similar to what you've seen in other sites, and this is something that I've been reluctant to implement since probably 2007. I talked about it a lot with Cesar Rodas, a great contributor of both PHP classes and JS classes sites. The greatest challenge is to make a fair system that assigns the right amount of points, and the privileges are also fair. And I've been reluctant.
Yeah, and you should also take notice of the what authors have already accomplished and how you can evaluate that.
Yes, and there's always that challenge. Sometimes we like to assign value to something that for which there is not a record of the. At least the whole information that is not necessary. For instance, in the early days of PHP classes site, it did not record the date when the actual packages were approved. And if I want to keep track of when certain points were assigned for having published a certain package, that information is not there. And I'll have to figure a solution. But, well, that is an implementation detail. That will be my headache to figure out how to sort it. But, this is just to give an idea of what is coming.
And, just don't make us wait more couple of years.
Oh, no. No, I hope this will not take, at least this part will not take more than 1 or 2 months, because it's not complicated, this thing. And for instance, the system level submission was way more complicated. It took like 3 months of development. But there was a lot of planning before. the actual implementation started. So that said, I think it will be implemented certainly in this semester. Well, I'm kind of smiling because we never know what gets in the way.
Yeah, there, that's there quite are, optimistic.
Yeah. Well, no, the system points of the privileges, it is possible to implement it very quickly. What may not be fully ready is all the privileges that may be available in the system to let the users benefit from. Well, we have some discussions more to go through about this, and what I think is one thing that I wanted to mention is that all those users that have been engaging on the system levels and missions, at least those that got higher levels, they will get an invitation to join a private mailing list on which they will be able to take part on discussions of the matters, because I can implement it all by myself, but it will not be good enough if it will not address the concerns of the people that are most interested to participate. So if you have been engaging on the system levels and mission, reach at least some of the higher levels, you'll get an invitation. If you are not already taking part of that discussion list. And well, that said, basically we have ended our podcast. I would like to thank you, Artus, for coming, filling in for Michael. Michael,
sure, anytime.
Michael, if you are listening to this, please come back. We miss your jokes.
Yeah, we do.
And well, on my part, it's all for now. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.